This article will be studied during the week of March 21st through 27th. We want to go with you. Theme text: We want to go with you, for we have heard that God is with you people. Zechariah 8:23. Songs 65 and 122. Can you explain? How is Zechariah 8:23 being fulfilled? How should anointed Christians feel about themselves? 1 Corinthians 4, 6-8. Why should we not be worried about the number of those who eat the bread and drink the wine at the memorial? Romans 9, 11 and 16. Paragraphs 1 and 2, question A. What did Jehovah say would happen in our time? Question B. What questions will be answered in this article? Speaking of the time in which we are living, Jehovah foretold, "In those days 10 men out of all the languages of the nations will take hold. Yes, they will take firm hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, 'We want to go with you, for we have heard that God is with you people.'" Zechariah 8:23. Like the figurative 10 men, those who have an earthly hope have taken firm hold of the robe of a Jew. They are proud to associate with the Spirit-anointed Israel of God, knowing that Jehovah is blessing His anointed ones. Galatians 6:16. As did the prophet Zechariah, Jesus highlighted the refreshing unity that is experienced by God's people. He spoke of His followers as two groups, a little flock and other sheep, but He said that they would be one flock with one shepherd. John 10:16. However, the relationship between these two groups raises some questions. 1. Do those of the other sheep need to know the names of all those who are anointed today? 2. How should anointed ones view themselves? 3. How should you react if someone in your congregation starts to partake of the emblems at the memorial? 4. Do you need to be concerned about any increase in the number of those partaking? Let us consider the answers to each of these questions. Do we need to know the names of all the anointed today? Paragraph 3. Question: Why is it not possible for us to know for sure who will be part of the 144,000? Do those of the other sheep need to know the names of all those who are anointed today? The short answer is no. Why not? Because even if someone has received the heavenly calling, that person has received only an invitation, not a final confirmation of the reward. That is why Satan raises up false prophets to mislead, if possible, even the chosen ones. Matthew 24:24. No one can know whether an anointed Christian will receive his heavenly reward until Jehovah judges that person to be worthy of such a prize. Jehovah makes this determination and gives him the final sealing, either sometime before he dies faithfully or sometime before the outbreak of the Great Tribulation. Revelation 7, 3 and 14. It would be pointless, then, for anyone now living on earth to try to ascertain who among God's servants will eventually be part of the 144,000. The endnote reads, Psalm 87, 5 and 6 indicates that it is likely that in the future, the names of all those who have been raised to rule with Jesus in heaven will be revealed. Returning to the paragraph. Paragraph 4. Question: If it is not possible to know the names of all anointed ones on earth today, how can we go with them? If it is not possible to know with certainty the names of all spiritual Israelites on earth today, how can members of the other sheep go with them? Notice what the prophecy in Zechariah states concerning the figurative 10 men. These ones would take firm hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, "We want to go with you, for we have heard that God is with you people." Although only one Jew is mentioned here, in both instances, the pronoun "you" refers to more than one person. This spiritual Jew must then be a composite person, not just one individual. So it is not necessary to identify every spiritual Jew and then go with him or her. Rather, we need to identify these ones as a group and then support them as such. In no way do the Scriptures encourage us to follow an individual. Jesus is our leader. How should anointed Christians view themselves? Paragraph 5, Question: What warning should anointed ones think seriously about, and why? Those who partake of the emblems at the memorial should carefully consider the warning found at 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29, which reads, "Therefore, whoever eats the loaf or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty respecting the body and the blood of the Lord. First, let a man approve himself after scrutiny, and only then let him eat of the loaf and drink of the cup. For the one who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment against himself." What point is the Apostle Paul here making? An anointed Christian would partake unworthily if he did not maintain a good relationship with Jehovah. Such a warning helps anointed Christians to remember that they have not yet taken hold of the reward. They need to continue to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God by means of Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:13-16. Paragraph 6, Question: How should anointed Christians feel about themselves? Under inspiration, Paul appealed to anointed Christians to walk worthily of the calling with which they were called. How should this be done? Paul goes on to say, "With all humility and mildness, with patience, putting up with one another in love, earnestly endeavoring to maintain the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace." Ephesians 4:1-3. Jehovah's Spirit promotes humility, not pride. Modestly, anointed ones acknowledge that they do not necessarily have more Holy Spirit than those with an earthly hope. They do not claim to have special knowledge or revelations. Neither do they try to prove that they are in some way superior. They would also never suggest to others that these too have been anointed and should start partaking. Rather, they would humbly acknowledge that it is Jehovah who does the calling of anointed ones. Paragraph 7 and 8, Question: What do anointed Christians not expect, and why? Although it is a wonderful privilege to have the heavenly calling, anointed Christians do not expect any special honor from others. Philippians 2:2-3 reads, "Make my joy full by being of the same mind and having the same love, being completely united, having the one thought in mind. Do nothing out of contentiousness or out of egotism, but with humility consider others superior to you." Jehovah's Spirit bore witness to them personally. No announcement was made to the world. So they are not surprised if some people do not readily believe that they have truly been anointed by Holy Spirit. In fact, they realize that the Scriptures advise against quickly believing someone who claims to have a special appointment from God. In no way, then, would they use their anointing as a calling card to introduce themselves to others. For the most part, they would not even mention this personal experience to others, so as to avoid drawing attention to themselves. Neither would they want to boast about their future reward. 1 Corinthians 4:6-8 reads, "Now, brothers, these things I have applied to myself and Apollos for your good, that through us you may learn the rule, do not go beyond the things that are written, so that you may not be puffed up with pride, favoring one against the other. For who makes you different from another? Indeed, what do you have that you did not receive? If in fact you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not receive it? Are you already satisfied? Are you already rich? Have you begun ruling as kings without us? I really wish that you had begun ruling as kings, so that we also might rule with you as kings. In addition, anointed Christians do not view themselves as being part of an elite club. They do not seek out others who claim to have the same calling, hoping to bond with them or endeavoring to form private groups for Bible study. Such efforts would cause divisions within the congregation and work against the Holy Spirit, which promotes peace and unity. Romans 16, 17 and 18 reads, "Now I urge you, brothers, to keep your eye on those who create divisions and causes for stumbling contrary to the teaching that you have learned, and avoid them. For men of that sort are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattering speech they seduce the hearts of unsuspecting ones." How should you react? Paragraph 9, question: why do you need to be careful about the way you treat those who eat the bread and drink the wine at the memorial? How should you treat someone who partakes of the memorial emblems? Jesus told his disciples, "All of you are brothers." He went on to say, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Matthew 23:8-12. Therefore, it would be wrong to exalt individuals, even if they are anointed brothers of Christ. Speaking about Christian elders, the Bible encourages us to imitate the faith of those who take the lead, but it never commands us to elevate any human as our leader. True, the Scriptures speak of some as being considered worthy of double honor. However, such ones are worthy of honor not because they are anointed, but because they preside in a fine way and work hard in speaking and teaching. 1 Timothy 5:17. Therefore, it would be embarrassing for those with a heavenly calling if others were to give them undue praise or attention. Worse still, if they received special treatment, anointed Christians might find it difficult to remain humble. None of us would want to cause one of Christ's brothers to stumble. Paragraph 10, question: how can you show that you respect anointed Christians? How can we show appropriate respect for those whom Jehovah chooses to anoint? We would not ask them personal questions about their anointing. We thus avoid meddling with what does not concern us. We should not assume that the parents, spouse, or other relatives of one of the anointed would also be anointed. Genetics or marriage play no part in the process. We should also resist the urge to quiz spouses of anointed ones about how they feel knowing that they will live without their mate in the future earthly paradise. Rather than raise questions that may cause pain, all of us can have full confidence that Jehovah will open his hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Psalm 145, 16. Paragraph 11, question: how do we protect ourselves if we avoid admiring personalities? Those who treat anointed Christians in a proper manner protect themselves from an insidious danger. The Scriptures tell us that false brothers can slip into the congregation. These imposters may even claim to be anointed. In addition, some anointed Christians might fall away from the faith. If we avoid the trap of admiring personalities, we will not be drawn away from the truth by such ones, nor will our faith suffer a crippling blow if a prominent or long-serving Christian becomes unfaithful. What about the number of those partaking at the memorial? Paragraphs 12 and 13, question: why should we not worry about the number of those who eat the bread and drink the wine at the memorial? In recent years, we have seen an increase in the number of those partaking at the memorial of Christ's death. That trend contrasts with the decrease in the number of partakers that we saw for many decades. Should this increase trouble us? No. Let us consider some key factors to keep in mind. Jehovah knows those who belong to him. 2 Timothy 2:19. Those taking the count at the memorial cannot judge who truly have the heavenly hope. The number of partakers includes those who mistakenly think that they are anointed. Some who at one point started to partake of the emblems later stopped. Others may have mental or emotional problems that lead them to believe that they will rule with Christ in heaven. Therefore, the number of partakers does not accurately indicate the number of anointed ones left on earth. Paragraph 14. Question. What does the Bible say about the number of anointed ones who will be on earth when the Great Tribulation starts? Anointed ones will be present in many parts of the earth when Jesus comes to gather them to heaven. Speaking of that time, the Bible says regarding Jesus, He will send out His angels with a great trumpet sound, and they will gather His chosen ones together from the four winds, from one extremity of the heavens to their other extremity. Matthew 24:31. The scriptures do indicate that only a remnant of the anointed ones will be left on earth during the last days. However, the Bible does not state how many will be left at the time that the Great Tribulation begins. Paragraphs 15 and 16. Question. What do we need to understand about the 144,000 chosen by Jehovah? Jehovah chooses when in history He will select anointed ones. Jehovah began choosing anointed ones after Jesus' death and resurrection, and it seems that all in the first century Christian congregation were anointed. From the first century until the beginning of the last days, the vast majority of those who claimed to follow Christ were false Christians. Jesus likened them to weeds. Even so, Jehovah continued to anoint some faithful ones throughout that time, and they proved to be like the wheat Jesus described. During the last days, Jehovah has continued to select those who will make up the 144,000. The endnote reads, although Acts 2:33 shows that Jesus is part of the selection process, Jehovah is the source of the invitation. Returning to the paragraph, if He chooses to wait until late into that period to select some for that privilege, who are we to question His wisdom? Romans 9:11 reads, for when they had not yet been born and had not practiced anything good or bad, so that God's purpose respecting the choosing might continue dependent not on works, but on the one who calls. Verse 16 reads, so then, it depends not on a person's desire or on his effort, but on God, who has mercy. We must be careful not to react like the disgruntled workers who complained about the way their master dealt with the 11th hour workers. Matthew 20:8-15 reads, when evening came, the master of the vineyard said to his man in charge, call the workers and pay them their wages, starting with the last and ending with the first. When the 11th hour men came, they each received a denarius. So when the first came, they assumed that they would receive more, but they too were paid at the rate of a denarius. On receiving it, they began to complain against the master of the house and said, these last men put in 1 hour's work. Still, you made them equal to us who bore the burden of the day and the burning heat. But he said in reply to one of them, fellow, I do you no wrong. You agreed with me for a denarius, did you not? Take what is yours and go. I want to give to this last one the same as to you. Do I not have the right to do what I want with my own things? Or is your eye envious because I am good? Not all who have the heavenly hope are part of the faithful and discreet slave. Matthew 24:45-47. As in the first century, Jehovah and Jesus today are feeding many through the hands of a few. Only a few anointed Christians in the first century were used to write the Christian Greek scriptures. Similarly today, only a few anointed Christians have been appointed to provide spiritual food at the proper time. Paragraph 17. Question. What have you learned from this article? What have we learned from our discussion? Jehovah has chosen to give two separate rewards: heavenly life for spiritual Jews and earthly life for the symbolic 10 men. Yet, he requires the same standard of faithfulness from both those with a heavenly calling and those with an earthly hope. Both groups must remain humble. Both groups must be united. Both groups must promote peace in the congregation. As the last days draw to a close, let all of us be determined to serve as one flock under Christ. The following is supplementary information. Love does not behave indecently. When describing Christian love, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, does not get puffed up, does not behave indecently, does not look for its own interests." 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. The original language term translated behave indecently means to conduct oneself in such a way as to be rude, to lack good manners, or to act improperly. Christian love, on the other hand, takes into consideration the feelings of others. We can show Christian love by the way we treat those taking the lead in the congregation. At times, well-known representatives of the Christian congregation, perhaps circuit overseers, Bethelites, members of the branch committee, members of the governing body, as well as their helpers, may attend a convention or a theocratic event that we also attend. Naturally, we want to show such brothers and their wives due respect. None of us would want to imitate the attitude of Diotrephes. He refused to welcome the visiting brothers with respect. But could we, even unintentionally, show a lack of good manners by going to the opposite extreme? How might we do that? While we appreciate having an opportunity to meet and talk with visiting brothers and their wives, we would show a lack of respect if we treated such ones as celebrities. For example, would it show good manners to take candid photos of such ones without permission while they are eating and engaging in other activities? Would we ask them to autograph our books and Bibles? Would we push in front of others and aggressively demand that our photo be taken with them? Surely, none of these actions display true Christian love. Rather, they could show that we have missed the purpose of the visit and the hard work that such faithful ones do in our behalf. What effect could such behavior have on those attending one of our assemblies for the first time? What will help us to be balanced? First, remember that praise and glory should go to Jehovah. Second, realize that there is a big difference between respect and adulation. These brothers and their dear wives want to be treated not as celebrities, but as our fellow brothers and sisters. Third, apply the golden rule, "All things therefore that you want men to do to you, you also must do to them." Matthew 7:12. If we keep these factors in mind, we will be able to show the type of love that does not behave indecently. Returning to the article, can you explain, how is Zechariah 8:23 being fulfilled? How should anointed Christians feel about themselves? 1 Corinthians 4:6-8. Why should we not be worried about the number of those who eat the bread and drink the wine at the memorial? Romans 9:11-16. End of article.